Hey, everybody, I'm Liz Nord, and you're listening to the No Film School podcast. The reigning families of modern American movies are household names. The Coppolas, the Gyllenhaals, the Afflecks. But what about the Kaufmans? Haven't heard of them? Well, if you're a filmmaker, they have very likely affected your life. If you've rented a camera online in the past couple years, if your production ever benefited from a New York State tax incentive, if you're one of the millions who made Guardians of the Galaxy one of the most popular movies ever, you've been touched by a Kaufman. I call them the first family of DIY, and they are my guests on today's episode that is jam-packed full of movie industry advice. So who exactly are they? Dad is Lloyd Kaufman, creator of The Toxic Avenger and king of B-movies, whose independent studio Troma Entertainment has produced and distributed more than 1,000 films and launched the careers of big directors like Guardian of the Galaxy's James Gunn, who wrote the company's cult classic Tromeo and Juliet back in 1996. Mom is Pat Swinney Kaufman, who was the deputy film commissioner for New York State for 20 years, where she built the state's tax credit program for movie productions and was called one of the most powerful women in the U.S. film industry by Variety magazine. And if that weren't enough, their daughter is Lisbeth Kaufman, co-founder of Kitsplit, which is now the biggest online camera rental company. As a child, Lisbeth and her siblings acted in several of Troma's campiest movies, and her roles included the influential Toxic Child in Toxic Avenger Part 2. Between the three of them, there's a veritable treasure trove of industry gold and a clear admiration for each other. Not surprisingly, our conversation takes a winding path, complete with several dad jokes and political interjections thanks to Lloyd. And I think you'll all learn something from their advice on how to go with your gut, buck convention, and make your own damn movie. Well, welcome everybody. I'm so excited that you're here. We could do a whole episode with each of you. So I'm sort of eager to see how one will go. And I would love to start by having the audience familiarize themselves with your voices. So if you could just say your names to start, it would be great.
So this is Lisbeth Kaufman.
Hi, I'm Pat Swinney Kaufman.
Lloyd Kaufman.
Hi, everybody. You all sound great.
Yay.
So I want to mix things up a little bit in terms of just your bio type intros. I would like, since you are a family, I want to try to have Lisbeth introduce Lloyd's career and contributions, and then Lloyd, tell us what Pat has done in the industry, and then Pat can tell us about what Lisbeth is doing now.
Okay.
So you want to start introducing Dad?
Yeah.
Thank you.
Okay, so my dad, Lloyd Kaufman, is the president and president of Troma Entertainment, creator of The Toxic Avenger, as well as director, producer, writer, actor of many other amazing films, Sergeant Kabuki Man, Tromeo and Juliet, Poultrygeist, and so on. Yeah. Is that good for now?
How did she do?
I think that was far beyond my pay scale. It made me sound much too good. So in return, let me introduce the New York State Film Commissioner, retired after 20 years, Ms. Pat Swinney Kaufman, appointed by both Republican and Democratic governors, and is responsible for the fact that every stage in New York is full. Studios are being built, and the film industry and television industry in New York and New York State is booming, all thanks to Pat Swinney Kaufman, who has been married to Lloyd Swinney Kaufman for 44 years and deserves combat pay for everything.
There's so many accomplishments there, although I do think that getting appointed by both Republicans and Democrats may be the biggest accomplishment among us all.
Yeah. This day and age, for sure.
Yeah. You said it.
So, Pat, what about this lovely lady to your right?
Before I speak of this lovely lady to my right, let me add that Lloyd, in addition to what has already been described, has also had leadership in the IFTA, Independent Film and Television Alliance, which is like the MPAA for independent film across the country. And he's been an avid lobbyist in Washington on the issue of net neutrality. So he's got many, many important hats that he wears. So the young lady to my right is Lisbeth Kaufman, who is our beloved, brilliant middle child.
Your favorite middle child?
My favorite middle child. And she has had a great career in a range of fields and endeavors. But most importantly, all of this has now led to her being the co-founder and CEO of Kit Split. Lisbeth was immersed in film all of her life. She started showing up in movies when she was 9 months old and continued to have parts in various trauma films and has really absorbed and learned and been steeped in filmmaking her entire life and has come up with a brilliant concept, Kit Split, which I think we will let Lisbeth actually explain because she'll explain it better than anybody, but it's a really wonderful concept and it's going to make a big difference for the independent film world, not just in New York, but all over the country.
Well, thank you. That was quite an introduction.
Good job, Mom.
Totally unbiased.
I have a lot of questions for everyone, but per your mom's suggestion, why don't you quickly just tell us what Kit Split is.
Sure. So Kit Split is a community of filmmakers and production companies renting camera equipment to and from each other. So we've been called, like Forbes and Fast Company have called us the Airbnb of cameras, sort of an easy way to understand it. But we make it really easy and safe for filmmakers and content creators to rent gear from other people and company in their community. And then if they own gear, they can rent it out when they're not using it so they can make money off of it. And we provide insurance, very affordable, and delivery. So we make it super easy, and you can basically get gear on demand for a fraction of the cost.
It's a great service.
So, you know, as we get Blue Apron food, we get it delivered. I don't know if you ever heard of Blue Apron, this wonderful delivery of gourmet food. So does Kit Split send the camera in a like Blue Apron? You get it?
We do local delivery, yeah.
So is it also frozen? Do they put a...
It is not frozen, but that is a good... You know, we'll keep that in mind.
Good.
Frozen cameras are an issue.
And I don't recommend that people eat anything that arrives from kids. That's our legal disclaimer here on the podcast.
Good point. Yes, thank you.
Thank you, Liz. That's why no film school is the best film school.
Well, it's a value. This is the value I provide.
The children at NYU Film School, they pay $80,000 a year to... They eat the film. They don't know you're not supposed to eat the film.
They sit there, they shove their faces full of cameras.
But let's not disparage NYU because...
I didn't disparage them. They don't know better. It's so sad. They only have $80,000 a year. All right.
Lisbeth earned her MBA at... at Stern Business School, which is part of NYU. So,
but not the film school.
But not the
film school. But my co-founders did a graduate program at Tisch.
Nice.
Oh, no kidding.
We're not supposed to talk about that. But Tisch, it also was not film school. But
Tisch.
They're also very smart and cool.
Steve Tisch worked on Cry Uncle. John G. Avildsen movie, available on Troma's movie channel.
It occurs to me that if I were to choose one person in the world to be like my trivia teammate, I would probably choose you, Lloyd.
Oh,
especially
thank you.
If movies were on the table.
He has an amazing memory.
You
really do. And
plus,
you remember
I'm kind of trivia myself, aren't I? I'm sort of a footnote in film history.
Come on.
Well, after this podcast,
yeah,
the world known.
That's right. Thanks to Liz.
True.
Anyhow, so we don't always do personal history on the show, but just for we have to ask, kind of, what was it like in the Kaufman household when you were growing up, Elizabeth? How many film productions were going on at once? How did you all contribute and get involved?
Yeah, I mean, I get asked that all the time, and I feel like I'm always disappointing people when I say that I had a pretty normal childhood, thanks to my mom.
Yes.
My mom definitely made sure that we got our homework done and that we, you know, went to bed on time. But at the same time, it was very different. You know, my childhood was very different from probably other kids that I was growing up with. I mean, literally, you guys mentioned it, but before I was 1 year old, I was like cast in Troma's War as a role that was called the Jingoistic Baby, I believe.
That's it. Yes, Troma's War. It just played at the Nighthawk in Brooklyn.
Yeah.
You got a big round of applause.
Oh, of course. My baby performance.
Well, when you were crying, they loved it. Elizabeth gets kidnapped by these terrorists with masks and very scary, and she did not appreciate it.
Yeah, I've been kidnapped. I was cast as a mutant child. I was cast as a zombie child.
So typecast, basically.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm.
But you were directed by Mr. James Gunn, who went on in Romeo and Juliet, who went on to do Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yep.
I don't know how that did, but at least he made another movie.
Yeah, I mean, it was amazing. It really was an amazing childhood, and it still is, continues to be amazing to have such incredible parents. They, I mean, you know, just being on set with my dad and getting to learn about how films are made and the passion that he and his crew and cast were putting, are putting into their films, just, I feel like I learned so much from that. And then my mom, who was, she's built the tax credit program that have financed hundreds of billions of dollars of film over the years in New York. And my mom is just like, she is like the ultimate role model. She has taught me everything. And on top of that, she climbed the Matterhorn. She's a mountain climber. I still can't even believe it.
Should you ever go to Zermatt with me, you will hear me say that repeatedly, endlessly.
You
I
deserve
climbed
to
the
say
Matterhorn.
It.
Yes. Major accomplishment. Especially you know, people die on the Matterhorn every year. You climbed the Eiger and the Jungfrau and all the other Alps.
Yeah. Some of the other Alps, yes.
Well, most of the big ones.
Yes.
You know, in thinking about you coming here, I thought, this is the first family of DIY. You know, this is the first family of independent film. And I'm wondering what that kind of means to you. What does the do-it-yourself ethos mean? How does it play into what you've done in the industry?
Yeah, I mean, Daddy, you've written books on this.
Well, I went to, I made the mistake of going to Yale University. I got roomed with a movie nut, and the Film Society, which he ran, had a big stack of Cahiers du Cinéma magazines in French, and I speak French, and that is the magazine of the French Cinémathèque. And they propounded the auteur theory of filmmaking, which says the director should be 100% in control and the film should express his, her, or its heart and soul. I bought into that and stupidly decided to stay in New York and be in the underground and just didn't matter. Just make the film. Make your own damn movie. Make your own damn movie. And luckily the commissioner permitted me to do that for many years and also was a big... I think the 20 years that the commissioner gave to New York State was very nice for students because the other commissioners very often don't talk to the students and don't talk to the traumas of the world. Mm-hmm. And Pat Swinney Kaufman was as nice to the NYU or the make your own damn movie student as she was to Spider-Man.
I mean, I think one of the great things about having our lives and careers be in New York and raising Elizabeth and her two sisters in New York was that we were just completely immersed in the independent film world of New York. I mean, my work, I worked with the big studios, the big television productions, the big films, but I also very much worked with all the independents, as Lloyd has very generously said, because I really did view New York as the independent film capital of the world and have always been amazed at the opportunity that I think exists in New York uniquely. And I think that one of the great things about what Elizabeth now does is that it fits so perfectly in that universe. It really is going to make it even more convenient and even easier for the independent filmmaker, young or old, to find his or her way, get the equipment that he or she needs, and do the project.
Well, Kitsplit is perfect for this new age of micro-budget. Everyone can make a movie. The making of cinema has been democratized. It's terrific. You can make a film for virtually no money, and it can be great. We're producing a couple of films now with new young directors. One, Heidi Moore in Indiana, and one a guy in Portugal, Fernando, whatever his name is, who made Banana Mother Effers, a very funny trauma movie. And look at everyone can make a movie. You don't need Rupert Murdoch. You don't need Summer Meyerson. You can do it yourself. It's
and
terrific.
My dad has also written a series of books called Make Your Own Damn Movie, which now we all say as a normal phrase.
You have to say it like, make your own damn movie. Sell your own damn movie.
But you're a big proponent of the idea that, you know, you don't have to go to film school, you don't need a big Hollywood budget. If you've got an idea, a vision and passion and dedication, that you can make an amazing project.
But I think it's great that Kitsplit is bringing in all the, you're creating VR events and,
yeah.
and you're creating kind of a Madame de Sévigné salon in addition to Kitsplit being a great peer-to-peer gear center. You've got this social thing, which is terrific. It's very intellectual.
And we've been very inspired by your idea of make your own damn movie to enable people to make their own damn movies.
Right. Well, that's what I was going to say. Yeah. So you need more than an idea and passion, right? So you need gear, for one.
Yeah.
So how does Kitsplit kind of play into that?
Yeah, exactly. Like, we believe that, you know, we want to make it as easy as possible for the filmmaker, the auteur, to concentrate on their vision and not have to deal with the hassle of the gear logistics. And so we want to make it as easy as possible for them to get gear that they need. And then for folks who are on a tight budget, you know, they can find amazing deals on Kitsplit. And like you guys were all saying, the community around Kitsplit, like, you're not just renting from a company, you're renting from another filmmaker or another, you know, small production company that's in your neighborhood. And we hear these amazing stories where filmmakers rent to and from each other and then end up becoming friends and collaborators and doing projects together. And that's like, that's what we want to hear. That's like the dream come true for us.
I think one of the coolest things about Kitsplit is what you just touched on, which is this community that you've built and are continued to build. You know, I'm always saying that New York is, you know, such a thriving independent film capital, and that if you come here, there's a community of filmmakers. But it's not, especially if you're not in film school, so that you have entree to a bunch of the filmmakers that are here. Kitsplit now has actually provided the forum that enables these filmmakers to find each other. Whether it be just because they're finding each other for equipment. But I would imagine as time goes on, you may already know great stories about this, but I would imagine already and more so in the future that filmmakers are going to be finding each other and they're going to start building crews based on the people that they're meeting through the Kitsplit community. And you have all these events, right? At least once a month, you have networking and affiliation events. And I am just sure that there are, you know, great collaborations that are growing out of that.
I was there one night. They had some guy, James George or something, and he was showing VR, and it was really interesting. VR, right? We know nothing about VR. Well, I'm 71 years old. And then we made a VR movie with The Toxic Avenger because we went to Kitsplit and we saw this presentation of what VR is. Now there's a 20-minute Toxic Avenger movie in VR.
And you can rent Troma's VR camera directly from Troma on Kitsplit.
How
That's
cool.
the kind of fun stuff, yeah.
And full disclosure, James George is a good friend of No Film School and of the Kaufman family.
Yeah, he happens to be my boyfriend.
I had no idea. What a coincidence.
See, yeah. Yeah. It's just
amazing. I met James George through Kitsplit. Troma had that phenomenon before, you know, when we, even though it was 35 millimeter, we still, I don't think any of the people really were rich film school people. James Gunn, who worked Romeo and Juliet, he wrote it. He met all his best friends on Romeo and Juliet, and they're still working together through Troma. They're still working together. And we have marriages out of Toxic Avenger.
And just this weekend, Troma premiered its latest film, Return to Nukem High, a.k.a. Volume 2 is the title. And the two of the leads.
Where was it?
Oh, yeah. It premiered at the Museum of Moving Image, which was amazing.
Very cool.
Such
Queens.
A cool.
Mm-hmm.
They had a whole Nukem High day. And the two of the leads in the film met on set and got married and are now obviously married and collaborators.
And it's,
and they're going to have a jingoistic baby
yes,
one day.
Exactly.
I think probably social justice warrior baby is more appropriate today.
Yeah. Well, these days.
We don't want any of these microaggressions.
So I'm feeling this theme now of sort of the things you need to make your own damn movie. We've talked about, you know, there's more accessibility to gear now. We've talked about community. I'm curious, Pat, I think your world that you have come from now is a little daunting to new filmmakers. What are some tips you have, you know, in terms of making your own damn movie when it comes to applying for those licenses and doing the kind of like paperwork stuff that feels a little scary?
I think that I would really advise filmmakers not to be hesitant to call their local film commission. I mean, I ran the State Film Commission, so I was interested in helping people get their projects done all over the state. But it really makes sense to call your film commission. The State Commission obviously is a good start, because whatever your project may be, who knows? There may be all kinds of regions within a state, not just New York, but there may be all kinds of regions that might be perfect for your project, or you might be able to get more help from the local community. And always, I would say to the filmmakers, your first call is go ahead, call the state or the city film commission and ask for their help and support and guidance. And if it's a good commission, it's going to help you. And there are good commissions all over the country. I used to be president of the Association of Film Commissioners International, which is the professional organization for film commissions around the world. And I will tell you that there are just so many really good offices around the country. Naturally, I prefer New York, but there are so many good offices around the country, and there are people that really do want to help the up-and-coming young independent filmmakers find their way and get the locations they need. And you know, most of these offices do want to help with the challenges of the paperwork and that sort of thing.
Now, my good friend made a movie for well under $50,000, and he got money back from New York State. What is this incentive I keep hearing about? Can you tell us if you know?
Yes.
What is the incentive?
Having written most of that legislation, the way the New York State incentive works, a production, especially a low-budget production, would have to agree to film something like 75% of the film in New York, and they'd have to agree to do one day of filming on one of the state's approved stages, what's called a qualified stage. And by the way, if you go to the New York State Film Commission's website, you know, all of this is explained. And if you do that, and you feel like there is extensive paperwork, but there are people there who are ready and willing to help you walk your way through it. You do have to do some calculus. That one day on the stage, are you going to make enough money from the incentive? Is your budget such that you'll make enough money from the incentive to pay for that one day on the stage? But, for example, your friend who did the film for like $50,000 was very good at getting people to donate to him. He got a lot of, and he got the stage at a really good price because they believed in him and they helped him. So he really was able to do his film all in New York. He did shoot one day on a stage, and a qualified stage. And as a result, he got back 30% of his below-the-line costs. In the form of a refundable tax credit. So he gets it back. They write a check to him for 30% of his below-the-line expenditures.
And if you want a tip from the commissioner, Northern New York, Western Northern New York State around Buffalo has a terrific film commissioner. We've made about 8 movies there, and they actually treat you really well. The commissioner is terrific.
Yeah,
and toxic.
There's some real treasures in Western New York, Buffalo in particular, but also Rochester and Syracuse. And by the way, the people in Albany are great. The people in Hudson are great.
And where can someone go to find out about film incentives in their areas?
They should go to their state film commission.
Okay.
That would be absolutely the first stop, the first call, the first website to check. If you just want to get an overview of what the incentives are like all over the country, then there are several companies that put up comprehensive websites that list in a systematic way what the incentives are in the various states and in a format that actually makes it quite possible to compare apples to oranges to bananas. One of the best of that would be Entertainment Partners, EP.
Okay.
They have a great website. So I would say go to EP, Entertainment Partners website, and they update it almost on a daily basis. Association of Film Commissioners International, AFCI, which I mentioned a moment ago, also has a website which lists all the various commissions and the various incentives. So you can get a big overview from either of those websites. And you can also get contact information so that if you think the things going on in Louisiana look like they might work for you, they'll give you the information on how to contact. Or if you think New York might work for you, it'll give you the information on how to contact the commission in New York.
Sounds like a useful no film school post. And speaking of no film school, of course, since we are, you know, educational, I feel like you all must be learning from each other. Like there was a long period where Lisbeth was learning from both of you, and now Lloyd's still making movies and probably learning from some of the stuff Lisbeth is doing. So I'm kind of curious about what comes to mind when I ask you what you've learned from each other.
I mean, I feel like I've learned everything from my parents, and I continue to learn from them.
Well, I learned how to remove a crayon from a child's nose, thanks to Lisbeth Kaufman. Very exciting. And we've probably, you know, that's the kind of humor we have in trauma movies, as you know. So it was,
yeah,
I think in The
I'm
Tempest,
very inspirational.
Our next movie, yes. The Tempest, there will be a crayon in nose scene, I'm
Excellent.
Sure.
No, I've learned from Lisbeth watching her as the, you know, the CEO and co-founder of
Kitsplit.
Of Kitsplit, yes, absolutely.
We hadn't heard, so
yeah.
it's good
you
mention.
Yeah, you may
That's
want to
Kitsplit.
I've learned so much from my parents. I mean, my dad, I think they've both taught me about hard work and dedication and being really passionate about what they're doing. Mm-hmm. And they've taught me about, like, the importance of family. They always made time for us.
Did you say the importance of Stan Lee?
Yes. Also,
he's
the importance
of Stan Lee.
He's been
a friend of mine for 50 years.
Excelsior.
He's a great guy.
He is a great guy. He's
big
amazing.
Inspiration for you and Pat and Trauma
yeah.
Commissioner and Trauma. He loves the commissioner. Stan Lee loves the commissioner.
Oh, he's and I like a cool guy.
And the idea of, like, community and supporting other filmmakers and, you know, like, their craft and being collaborative and being very open-minded. I think both of you are extremely open-minded and curious, very curious about, you know, eager to learn, which I think is so important for film, but also for any industry or profession.
There's a movie, and it's kind of yin and yang thing because it's about the guy who started McDonald's, which is a disgusting conglomerate, but and get bad food. We know all that. But the message of the movie was persistence, and that's really the lesson. As Woody Allen says, success is 88% just showing up. What?
You can leave out part two of that joke.
All right, well. Look in my book, All I Need to Know About Filmmaking I Learned from the Toxic Avenger. You can see the continuation of that joke.
Oh, boy.
Written by James Gunn.
Unless if it says, he could say it.
Because you each have, you know, experience starting initiatives, starting companies and films and projects, doing a startup right now, what advice do you have, persistence being part of it, what advice do you have for anyone just trying to start from scratch? Because almost all of our listeners are starting something from scratch, whether it's a script or a production or whatever it is.
Yeah, I'm totally, I feel like I'm in awe of filmmakers because every time you make a new film, it's like starting a new company and you have to figure so much out from insurance to hiring and all of that. And it happens every time. So yeah, people have a lot of work there. I guess advice, I think for me, staying very open-minded and collaborative, treating the process of starting something as a team process.
I think to build on what Lisbeth just said, I know that Lloyd's going to say, just do it, right? To thine own self be true, just do it. And he can speak very eloquently about that. And I would say that when you are just starting out, to find your community, to network as much as possible, go to every possible event and network and find other people who are like you, delving into this industry and meet people at all different levels, right? Those who've already have a project or two under their belt, to those that are just, you know, putting their toe in the water. Just meet people at every single level and connect, network, and build your community and build your entourage because together you can all make your project happen.
I have a few other things, too.
Please.
One thing I've learned from my dad is kind of like guerrilla marketing and promotions. And like, don't be humble, or I mean, it's good to be humble, but don't be self-deprecating. Be really proud of what you're working on and tell everyone about it as often as possible. If you're excited about something, other people will get excited. And there are so many ways to get the word out. So don't be shy.
I'm in about 400 movies, mainly underground movies, to help young people. If I'm in it, the trauma fans will support it. They'll buy the DVDs. And I'm in some big ones, like Guardian of the Galaxy and Sharknado and blah, blah, blah. I've written a book called Sell Your Own Damn Movie. And I think the lesson there, and what I've observed about young people, is many of them feel they're artistes and they shouldn't dirty themselves up in, you know, merchant selling the movie and pimping for their films. And they should. Picasso did it. He was a rich man. He also beat up women. Van Gogh didn't do any of that. He cut his ear off and didn't sell a picture except to his brother for $50. And meanwhile, today, Van Gogh is equal to Picasso. Had Van Gogh gone out and promoted, he might not have had to cut his ear off, despite his nose. I've written a... here's a chapter I'm going to present to Liz from my book, Sell Your Own Damn Movie.
Ooh.
It suggests that piracy is good and copyright is abused. And you have to think along those lines. You have to share art. Art should be shared. So file sharing and all this stuff that the elites want you to avoid. No, you should share art, and art should be shared. It shouldn't be locked up in copyright for 40 years. And to be honest, I think one of the reasons Trome is so famous in genocidal regimes like Russia and China is thanks to the good people who pirate.
Is that true? Do you know that to be true?
I've been to Russia, yeah.
And everybody
knows
you?
I've been to China. I've majored in Chinese studies. Lizbeth is fluent in Chinese.
And
we did it. We majored because we thought China might develop into a slightly democratic, but they're going the other way. They're basically Nazi Germany or worse.
But it's true. When I was in China, I would see pirated copies of various trauma films.
Everyone is
being sold on the street.
Yeah, they get them out before we even put them out on Blu-ray. But the point is, it makes you famous.
Right.
And we actually started making some money from Russia thanks to the pirating.
Mm.
I don't like the fact that people, the generals and the elites of China who own the streaming services and who own the factories, pirate our movies and don't give us even 1 cent. I don't care for that. But if some college students want to share and put it on their... In fact, we have 400 movies for free on YouTube. Trauma movies on YouTube to thank our fans. That's why we're artists. We want people to see the movies. So I think it's very important for the fans and the filmmakers to not be afraid of promoting. You know, I wear a bow tie and I go to the Cannes Film Festival and we have clowns and Kabuki Man and we throw blood and we do street theater and nobody dares do that. And doesn't cost anything. And meanwhile, we're more famous than those $500,000 parties that for one movie gets forgotten in 2 weeks. Troma's remembered, right? In Cannes, Troma's,
mm-hmm.
Pat just saw it. The citizens and the police all know us.
Yeah. And love you. They get a kick out of you.
Yeah, it's the underdog.
Like
it's all
daring.
About the underdog. Huh?
You know, the theme I pulled from that rant? No.
Yes. Lots of rants.
Well, the thing is, it's upbeat because you can do it. You just have to stay with it. We don't have to worry about starving in this country.
Right.
And I'm certain that we'll have a good ending to Obamacare. Something good's going to happen. They're not going to get rid of it. It's impossible. In fact, they ought to do something about dental, whatever. I don't know. Obama dental care, right? $12,000 to replace a tooth. Holy cow. What do people do? You can't do it. So,
Don't get me started. But again, the thread that I pulled from that is to be bold and be daring. And, I love that. I think that's important for everyone to
The commissioner take the said heart. It. To thine own self be true. Shakespeare, the bard, that's it. Do what you believe in. It's art. And filmmaking, as Lizbeth said, is the hardest. It's the hardest thing in the world. Except for maybe opening a restaurant. You're running a restaurant. That looks pretty hard. But you really have to believe in it. And it's... You know, it's just not worth making crap that you think the public wants. Be ahead of the public, and eventually you'll be rewarded. The Museum of Modern Art played the volume one of Return to Newcomb High, and now the Museum of the Moving Image has realized that we've got art in our souls.
Right, so, highbrow institutions.
You have to wait.
You gotta
wait.
Yeah,
it doesn't happen overnight. You know, James Gunn is the number one director in Los Angeles. Everyone thinks it's overnight. He suffered 3 years with us and 12 years in Hollywood. So, he deserves it. And he's extremely talented and a great guy. Great guy.
Seems like a good guy.
Yeah, I mean, the mainstream has good people.
Well, we're all melting in here. This does bring up one more question, so I'm going to ask one more. But it seems that all of you have anticipated trends in a certain way throughout your careers. I mean, Lizbeth, you certainly have with Kit Split. Like, you saw this sharing economy happen. You know, as you mentioned, Lloyd, you were sort of on YouTube early. You've done VR now. You know, Pat, you're the type of initiatives you worked on in this state have been replicated.
So all over, yes.
What advice do you have about that? How do you know what's coming? How do you anticipate what's coming?
I think my dad and both my parents are really good at this, but I think it has to do with being open-minded and keeping your ear to the ground. It's great to listen to people who have PhDs and are super, established, but I think listening to everyone is a lot more, or you can learn a lot from that as well. I also think just like perpetual research and read a lot, which is obvious, but.
And Lloyd often goes against the sort of the flow of the river and does something really alternative and different. Like for when he invented when he came up with the concept of the Toxic Avenger, right? You and your partner, Michael, had just read articles that said that, monsters were dead. And
that's right. Horror Variety had a nice headline. The horror
this
films
back in the early
no
70s.
Longer commercial, right?
Yeah, and that you couldn't, and the belief and the conventional wisdom was you couldn't mix comedy and horror.
That's right.
And
you can't mix sex and comedy either.
Yeah.
Because the Raincoat crowd wants to take it
very
seriously.
Which is amazing because sex is so funny.
Well, it's funny. Yeah.
And Lloyd and Michael were the first to do film sexy comedies like Squeeze Play and Waitress. And then right after they did a series of sexy comedies that did very well, then suddenly Hollywood did Porky's, right? And suddenly Hollywood took. But they were first. The Lloyd and his partner were first, and then they decided to go against conventional wisdom.
The big companies were playing unfair. They were using good actors and good scripts. So we had to turn to the Toxic Avenger. We mixed in horror, comedy, sexy stuff, political, police, romance, songs. We were Cuisinart of genres, and when there were 1,500 video stores with trauma sections. We weren't put in the horror department. We were trauma. So it's very interesting. We got about 1,000
movies. But I think part of the lesson there is they were completely willing, if not eager, to go against conventional wisdom. And because they went against conventional wisdom and went down their own road, they were literally ahead of the curve on almost everything. And eventually everybody else starts copying them. And then they move on and become ahead of the curve on something else.
And it goes back to what you were saying about like to thine own self be true. Like in today's world, like if you go with your gut, thanks to the internet, you will be able to get connected with all the other people who have similar ideas or get excited about the same thing. I mean, we live in Comic-Con is such a crazy example of this, where I remember you've been going to Comic-Con for like decades. Back in the day, it was sort of a niche thing, and now everyone's excited about it. And thanks to the power of the internet, it's brought all these people together who are excited about it. So if you have a vision and you execute that vision, you can find your audience.
And believe in yourself.
Yeah.
How did you decide to do what? How did you come up with the Kid Split idea? We never talked about that.
Yeah. So I've been in heavily influenced through you two and Troma and your work in the film commission. Growing up on set, I've experienced firsthand the challenges that come along with
how expensive it was to rent a decent camera.
Exactly,
from these
how
equipment
expensive
houses.
And yeah. There's so many difficulties in getting a film together. And meanwhile, there are more content creators today than ever before. There's amazing technology available. So we wanted to come up with a platform that made it easier for people to get access to the gear that surrounds them in every city. And I met my co-founders when we were all in grad school. And Christina Budelis was a videographer at the New Yorker magazine. And she had experienced the same pain of finding gear and proposed this idea of like an Airbnb platform for cameras.
Equipment, right? Can you get
lenses, support, grip, all of it. Looking at the industry, realizing that there's a huge opportunity here with more people than ever before making films, the service is still not quite up to date, not quite online. This idea of a platform to connect everyone and make it really easy to rent gear.
And now you're all up and down the East Coast. What's your territory?
Yeah, so you can sign up for Kit Split and list gear anywhere in the country. We have the biggest presence on the East Coast and now in LA and San Francisco. And we're spending a lot more time in LA now and focusing out there, which we're so excited about.
That's great. Before we sign off, the commissioner has something very important to present you with.
Oh,
the commissioner, could you please
God.
Do the honor?
This being the No Film School, I'm not sure if you award diplomas or not, but Troma does award diplomas.
Wow.
They're called the official Troma diplomas and the recipients are chosen for all of their creativity and for supporting truly independent art. Oh. And today we have two Troma diplomas. The first will be presented to the No Film School podcast. And yes, round of applause. And the second is presented specifically to Liz Nord. Congratulations.
So beautiful. Wonderful. That's great. Congratulations.
Listeners, you wouldn't believe what I have in my hands. An official Troma diploma for me. I'll put a picture on the website.
Yeah.
I have a couple more copies. Why Piracy is Good and Copyright Sucks. An excerpt from Sell Your Own Damn Movie.
Excellent. Well, again, thank you all so much for your work, your continued efforts, and for being here today. It's really been a joy.
Thank you so much. As we are leaving, may I suggest to you that a great podcast, you've probably already touched on this topic many times, but the real future of podcasts, the real future of new enterprises like Kitslet, really is going to depend on maintaining an open and free internet. Net neutrality is incredibly important to all of us. So I hope in the near future you'll be discussing that.
That's why you're a great commissioner. You speak your mind.
That's right. And a great advocate. It's a good opportunity for me to pitch our weekly news show, Indie Film Weekly, where we talk about everything you might have missed while you were busy making films. And net neutrality has featured as a regular topic lately. So if listeners out there are interested, you can get that one every Thursday. I think Lisbeth is a is
public
a fan.
Service. I'm a big fan. Oh, actually, can
That's
I
great.
Give out a discount to Kitsplit, to your community?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
This
so,
is the podcast that never
Yeah, seriously.
But exclusive breaking news.
And on top of these exciting Troma diplomas that I have just been awarded, apparently we have another announcement from Miss Lisbeth Kaufman.
That's right. Big announcement for the No Film School community and the podcast listeners. Kitsplit is offering a 10% discount for camera rentals and gear rentals. So just use the discount code NFS10, as in No Film School 10, and on kitsplit.com.
Did you say NFS10?
Yep, like No Film School, NFS10, at kitsplit.com.
So sweet.
Yeah,
thank
we want to help you. Thanks.
Yay. Well, you heard it here first. To get a 10% discount on gear and camera rentals at kitsplit.com, enter the code NFS10 at checkout. Thank you, Lisbeth. Meanwhile, you can see more about Lloyd's incredible body of work and order his movies and books like Make Your Own Damn Movie, Direct Your Own Damn Movie, and Produce Your Own Damn Movie at Troma.com, TROMA.com. Thanks for listening. And if you loved this episode as much as I did, make sure you subscribe to the No Film School podcast in iTunes or your favorite podcast app so you can hear more interviews like these every Monday, or catch our Indie Film Weekly news show, which comes out every Thursday morning and fills you in on everything you might have missed when you were busy making films. Of course, you can read lots more about the craft of filmmaking at nofilmschool.com and reach me on Twitter @LizFilm. See you on Thursday.